Hi guys, it is Sophia. Welcome to Life on Audio. At this point, I have recorded so many episodes back to back. I have no clue when this episode is coming out. So there might be some things that I say that you've heard in other episodes. I don't know. I'm not sure anymore what I've said and what I haven't said. I mean, first off, it's not like a lot of exciting stuff happens in my life. So if it was exciting, I probably told you about it. But then second off, I feel like there has been at least some progression. Now I'm like, did I mention this? Did I not mention this? Just because this is kind of relevant to this episode. Yeah. So we're doing a little morning green tea and podcasting session. I haven't done this in a really long time. I mean, I feel like I used to do this in my LA apartment, but I haven't done it since I moved back home. But I kind of just got up and was like, all right, we're getting onto the podcast. I don't know why, but I just decided. And I feel like I have enough to talk about that will carry me through one episode. I mean, you know me, like I can talk, but the question is, do I have like actual topic to talk about? And the answer to that is yes. Might this sound a little redundant? Yeah. Is this a feeling that I feel honestly every like, I'm trying to time it. I actually think I'm gonna have to time it every like 5 days or something like that. Yeah. So I felt it yesterday. Now let's see when I feel it next. That probably will give me like a good marker as to like how often am I feeling this? Because I know since I've moved back home, I've had this feeling like I have a day every so often where I just feel this immensely. And I'm kind of like, oh my God, what do I do? And I don't know if I'm going to feel it today. I think I'm going to feel a little bit more optimistic. It's like you come out of it. It's like one of those feelings. It hits really strong and it takes a little bit to come out of it. And then you're probably good again. Something can also pull you out of it. Like if something exciting happens, like it can pull you out of this feeling. But besides that, I think it usually is a little bit of like a progression coming out of it. Maybe this is what I'm going to start realizing. At this point, I feel like I need to just like do social experiments on myself. So I guess I'll just start with the news that kind of like is inspiring this episode. And then we'll just get into like what I've been thinking, because of course I think a lot. So I'm not sure whether I mentioned the second part of this, but I think I mentioned the first one in an episode. I had a meeting with a modeling agency. I went, it went well. It wasn't, you know what, we're going to just do from start to finish, actually. Let me just tell the whole story since it's run its course now. So I decided to mass apply to modeling agencies. And of course, I applied to the ones in Miami. And this one reached out to me like a couple of minutes after I sent in my application, which I was very shocked about because I was literally still in the midst of like applying to agencies. And then there was this moment where I was like, oh, wait, I want to check my email just to see if one of the applications like got sent back to me, because I wanted to like just copy and paste it. And I saw this email and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And they were like, do you have representation in Florida? And also, what's your availability? And I was like, no representation, literally so flexible. Like, I do not have anything that would limit me from being able to go to castings and stuff like that. And they were like, cool, let's set up a meeting. So after a little bit of back and forth, we set a date and a time. And the agency is based in Florida, but it covers between Miami and West Palm Beach. That's the region that they, you know, cover jobs and stuff like that. And also like in the contract cover you. So you're like exclusive to that region. You can't like sign with another agency, which is totally fine. A, there's not a lot of agencies in Miami and I've applied to most of them now multiple times. And obviously it hasn't taken me anywhere. So I go in, I was so nervous. There were two things. Number one, well, it's still there. I don't know. This thing is not going away. I have this like giant pimple on my face and I was just, you know, like look good, feel good. Like I was not feeling great. Also, I was just not feeling great mentally. It was kind of like this weird thing where like Saturday and Sunday were very like heavy on me mentally. Like I just, there's a whole episode where I talk about what was going on at that point and it just like really kind of rocked my boat. And then Monday I was still kind of like feeling off from all of it. And I was like, I have this agency meeting tomorrow and like my face is just not giving what it's supposed to be giving. And that's like annoying me. And I'm also just like not in the best place mentally. Like I'm not super cheery and excited. I'm feeling down. And I was like, I'm a little scared to go into this just because I don't know. Also, I've never done an in-person interview. It wasn't an interview. It was like a meeting. It was just like, let's meet each other. So I go in. It's this guy. He basically sits me down and it was like 10-15 minutes, just like basically him telling me, obviously he was like, oh, like how tall are you, like how old are you, blah blah, availability. There was no like let's check measurements, there were no like photo taking, which honestly I was okay with, but there was nothing like that. It was just more like an explanation of like, this is how we work and you know, this is like what to expect. And he was like, yeah, the contract is a year. And I was like, okay, wait, that sounds great and all that. I asked, you know, if I want, because I also like have a section in New York, and I was like, if I want to move to New York at some point, can I get representation there? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, this is just sounding really great. Like everything's kind of falling into place. And this just feels honestly like the right thing to do for now. because I've wanted to get into the industry for a while and I've already declined one agency. And I thought this kind of feels like a good place to start. I was like, this isn't going to get me to exactly where I want to be right now, but I feel like everyone has to start somewhere. And I feel like this is a good agency to start with because they're smaller, they're local. So I can literally like go to jobs here and it allows me to break into the modeling industry, see whether I like it, do it for a year. And then if I don't like it in the future, I can always say like, okay, I'm done. Or if I like it, I can either stay with this agency or move on to a next one or try to move on to a next one, because at least then I have like images and I'm developed in a portfolio and stuff like that. So I was like, this feels really good. This feels like a good plan. But the thing about me is, first off, the modeling industry scares me for two reasons. Number one, it's super obscure, which means if you are outside of it, it's really hard to get a good idea as to what your life is going to look like inside of it. And the thing is, like, if you've heard anything about the modeling industry, there's not always the best thing said about it. Okay. There really isn't. And I know a lot of people would die for a modeling contract, die to be in a modeling agency. Like, I know a lot of people want that and are willing to do whatever it takes and like willing to go through whatever experiences. I'm just not one of those people. Maybe that means I'm not made for it, but I want to protect myself and I want to be careful about what I'm signing myself up for. Because again, when you sign a contract, there's no easy way out of it. Once you sign it, it's like you're signed with that agency. And let's say you get onto the other side and you're like, oh shoot, I don't like this. You probably are stuck with it for however long that contract is running. So for me, I was like, I want to be really careful about what I'm getting myself into. I want to make sure that like I have my questions answered and all that. The other thing is, the modeling industry is known to be very scammy too, or there's a lot of scams around the modeling industry. This is just like a reoccurring problem where people literally get scammed money-wise, usually by people who are like posing to be someone in the modeling industry. Like, it happens all the time and it's scary. And I actually almost kind of, well, I sort of saw a scam sort of play out in front of me with a different agency. So I think after that, I kind of was like, I want to make sure that this is not a scam. I'm the type of person who tries to do some due diligence before they're going to sign with an agency. I did this every single time. And so I was like, I still need to do some due diligence here. And I think another thing is like, okay, maybe it's because I have a degree in psychology, but I feel like also just in general, it's very easy to kind of like scope the situation out. And that's exactly what I was doing here. I was like, okay, literally later that day, I get the contract sent to me. I'm reading through it. It's a very, compared to the other contract that I was given, this one was very like basic and not super in depth in detail, which felt better for me because it was easier to read. Like the last one, I literally had to get an attorney to read through it for me because I couldn't understand half of the terms. And thank goodness I did, because there were certain things in there where it was like, okay, now I know, because I could have not known. And then if something would have happened, I would have been screwed potentially. But this one was a lot more basic. I kind of understood the terms. I got it. I was like, okay, I get this. But I also had a couple questions, especially after, like, this is like the second contract I've read through. So it's like, I know kind of what to ask. And since I didn't see certain things that I saw on the other contract I'd gotten way back when, I just want to clarify. So I have the answer on this so that it's not a surprise when I like make it over to the other side. And, you know, I'm like, okay, now what? So I start sending questions. I sent exactly 3 emails where I asked questions. And the whole idea, so I got it on a Tuesday. My whole plan was by Thursday, I would sign it, send it in. I'd be signed with this agency. Cool. Amazing. Like, we did it. I was excited to make it to the other side because A, this has been a goal of mine. If you guys have been here, like, you know. B, currently taking a TikTok break, but I am planning on coming back to TikTok in a couple of weeks. I'm still off it for now. But I was just like, it'll be cool to like come back and be like, oh, I was gone for a while, but here's everything that happened, and to share this. Because I know that there are people who follow me who are actually interested in that. I remember like I did a live and there were like multiple people who were asking like, what's happening with the modeling stuff? And I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, just working on it. But I was like, oh, like, I finally have progressed in that direction. Like, this is actually happening. Also, I think just in general, it's like, for me, with what I'm doing, there's no set markers of like, okay, yeah, you're making progress. So the only way that I can feel good about what I'm doing, besides like my own inner interest in it or innate desire to do it, is hitting the accomplishments that I've set out for myself. And it literally went like my list, if you can find it somewhere. Yeah, go find my list. Okay, wait, no. But like, I think my list literally is like, hit 10K, monetize, sign with an agency. Like, it goes in that direction. And I was like, okay, finally, we are like checking off box number 3. This is good. This is good because the other goals that I have are a little bit more, I feel like they're going to be a little bit more difficult to reach. And I feel like A, they take time, and B, I actually have genuinely no clue whether anything could come out of that. So I was like, at least if I can check off these like three boxes, like these three boxes feel just a little bit easier, but it's like, I still need to check them off. And like, once I can check them off, I feel like I will be in a better place, right? At least with knowing it's a lead, you know, like ultimately it's a lead, like hitting that accomplishment would have been a lead for my future, as in like, okay, yeah, this is working out in my favor, or I don't know, this might not be working out in my favor. Anyways, so obviously I wanted to ask my questions, and I send the third email. So I think I sent three questions in the first one, maybe one or two more questions in the second one. And then I was like, oh, there's one more question I have. And I had this one more question because another thing, I have like a whole process when I'm thinking about signing with an agency. Number one, I usually try and find models who are signed with the agency, and I try and reach out to them and just ask them what their experience has been, because I feel like that's always important just to hear it from someone who actually is on the other side. Number two, I usually will look up the agency online, see if there's anything sketchy about them on the internet. This is how I realized that there was an agency, this was like back in January, that had contacted me and I was like actually communicating with, that was a scam. So that was how I realized that they were a scam, because literally the day that I had a call with them, I just like typed in their name and it was like, Reddit is a really great place to like know, but it was like all scam. The other two agencies, the first one that I got a contract from and then this one, were smaller agencies that didn't really have much publicity on them, which scares me a little bit because I would rather know. I would rather have like all the details, or not all the details, but like at least some details. I mean, I know that a smaller agency makes more sense for me, and also I don't think I'm getting into a bigger agency at this point in my life, but it's always like nice to like have. And I even at some point hopped onto TikTok and just like typed in the name of this agency, because you never know, like you might find something, or you might find another model, and it gives you an idea as to like, okay, is this a legit thing? Like, are people booking? Like, is this legit? Anyways, one of the girls I reached out to did get back. She was so sweet, actually. She literally was like, I have a YouTube channel too, we should collaborate. I guess she was still signed with them, but like more as a mother agent. Now she has like other agencies in the area. So now I'm like, I don't know which one booked these jobs that you're getting, but okay. But she was like, oh yeah, like he booked a ton of jobs for me in my first year, and it was like really great. And at some point I was like, by the way, like, do you have, because the whole process that I was explained, which is not abnormal, but just like, I obviously was being cautious. Okay. I'm being cautious. So basically when I met with him, he was like, so sign contract, sure. But then the next thing you need to do is get a photographer and do quote unquote test shoot, which is usually what models do to kind of build their portfolio. And I am actually still not completely sure how it works. I actually texted one of my friends who is like literally signed with an agency and all that and has been in the industry for a while. And she was saying, oh, my agency now covers my test shoots. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. Because test shoots can be quite pricey. Okay. It's basically like investing into yourself and investing into your future, but you have no guarantee that you're actually going to book jobs and stuff like that. Before I'm going to throw money at something, I just want to make sure that I'm doing it the right way. He gave me two names. The first one I completely didn't catch. The second one, he gave me like his information and all that. So I reached out to this photographer and I was like, hey, I think this is just like a normal, like it would have been like a normal like headshot. Yeah, basically just like a normal headshot shoot. It wasn't anything more editorial or something like that. There was no like spice in the style, which I was like, okay, if this is what I need, I guess this is what I need. And like the rate wasn't too bad. I actually asked my friend too, just because I was like, I just realized I don't actually know what the industry standard for test shoots are. They can be anywhere between $200 and $1,000. My big thing is I don't really like throwing big numbers at anything money-wise. I don't even like spending more than $100 in one sitting. I just have this thing, especially if it's my money. I'm so sorry, I can't do it. So obviously this would be like a big thing for me, which like, you know, you could be here and be like, well, Sophia, if you want it so bad, like you have to work for it. Sure. Totally. Well, it's not working for it. It's more like just paying for it. But before I got into this, again, I'm cautious. I wanted to just like scout out the situation. So he was like, okay, yeah, you have to shoot with this. And so I only had one name. And so I was like, okay, obviously I want to hear what the other name is, just so I can like have a couple of options. Also, I have to say, after my grad shoot, I realized it really does matter like what photographer you use, because I did my grad photos and I didn't really like them. They were good, but I just wish I had used a different photographer. So it's like, I want to feel the same way, especially if it's like my modeling digitals and it's being sent out. Like, I want to feel good about them. Anyways, I'm asking about photographers. And so I decide to ask this girl, I'm like, hey, do you have any recommendations for photographers for test shoots? And she responds and she was like, yeah, here's one. And then she goes, but if you sign with the agency, the like agency director will do a test shoot with you. And I was like, oh, interesting. That was not an option that was given to me. And here's the thing. I don't know whether like, okay, to be fair, we would have been in different sections because I am not your regular model. I am 5'6". That is not model height. This girl was true like runway model, like 5'11". So we would have anyways been in different sections. Like I would have been in print, lifestyle, media, and she was just like in runway editorial or something like, I forgot what it's, or just like main. She's just like the main board, right? So it's kind of fair that like potentially that was an option for her and not for me because she's like model that you think of. And this is what I was quickly realizing because what do I want to be? Model that you think of, just a short one. But I was starting to realize that I was probably going to fit more into like, I'm so happy doing like print, e-commerce, commercial modeling. Like that's actually kind of what I want to do. I don't necessarily want to do like runway editorial, but I want to specifically do that. I think I would have been considered for like anything and everything, like literal like acting and like commercials and like stuff like that, which like honestly sounds cool. I would have been willing to try anything, but it's just like, that's not exactly where I saw myself. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, this is a thing. We'll see. Guys, my tea bag just broke in my cup. All right, I'm just gonna drink it with the tea bag in there. So anyways, this definitely kind of, you know, when you have like a little alarm bell in your... Also, for some reason, modeling contracts make me so anxious, which now that I'm really thinking about it, I'm like, maybe this is my sign that this is not my thing, which makes me sad because obviously it's like a dream that I have. But I'm like, I don't think that if you're like getting yourself into something, you should feel that much anxiety. Anyways, so I was going through the contract again. I think I read the contract 3 times straight. And at this point I was like, well, I'm a little curious about this like shoot that I supposedly am supposed to do according to this girl, which obviously like, who knows if it's still a thing, but I was like gonna kind of try and ask around. I wasn't gonna be like, oh, like one of your models says that you do shoots. I was gonna just be like, oh, like is there any like in-house shooting? And there's literally this mention in the contract about this thing called in-house photo shoot. And so in my mind I thought, oh, it's a photo shoot like within the agency, like the agency does the pictures for you. And so I decide to ask about it and I'm like, okay, so first off I was like, I contacted the photographer you gave me. What was the other photographer's name? Then I was like, also one last question. I saw that there was a mention of in-house photo shoot. Does that pertain to me or something I'll experience in the future? And then one last line where I said, and by the way, I'm going to be out of town from August 31st to September 21st, which, mind you, when I went into the agency meeting, I mentioned I'm probably going to be out of town somewhere end of August into September. Just to let you know, because I was like, obviously that kind of like I could start, but then I would be out for a while. So maybe like that changes things. But he literally was just like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna be out of town from this time to this time as well, like blah blah. And I was like, okay, if that's fine, that's fine. So I get the response back. First, I'm just gonna explain. Seeing that response, it was like a true colors moment and also just like a little heart drop. The night before I had been looking them up and I was doing like internet search and like I wasn't really finding anything except, okay, first off, there was only one Reddit thread about this agency and there was like a mention of some sort of like standoffish behavior by the agency director. Like they mentioned him and I'm like, oh, that's the guy I met with. And I was like, ooh, I don't like to see that. You know, that's obviously not what you want to see, but I did the search because I did the search. And then there was also this page called Modeling Scam and it explained the agency, but it explained it in like a positive light, which was confusing me because I was like, does this mean that it is a modeling scam or like, I don't know. And then there was like a comment, but this was like all from like almost a decade ago. Like none of this was recent. So I was like, all right, so there's nothing new on this agency. I honestly am like, this is like a good, like in my mind, I could rationalize and I was like, this is like a good idea, I think. Like it makes sense for me. It makes sense for where I'm at. I think this would be like kind of perfect for the period of time. Yeah, it was just like, this is good. So I obviously had this plan to sign the contract after I got an email to what I just sent. I was like, this is the last thing I have and then I'm ready to sign. He responds. So he explains what an in-house photo shoot is. Basically, it's an advance, not like an actual photo shoot they do at the agency. And I was like, oh. And then he follows that with, I think you should hold off on signing. I need models that are serious, who understand the need for competitive images to get requests or to book jobs, something like that. And then he goes, models think that they can just get like competitive pay or like a lot of pay for little to no work. And I was like, oh, excuse me? Excuse me. What is this response? Not once did I note my seriousness about this, especially because I was about to sign the contract. I was like, oh, you messed up, which like you probably don't care, but like you messed up respectfully, because what was that response? It was truly one of those like true color moments where I was like, see, this is why I ask questions, because you never know when you'll find the true colors come out. Or maybe you don't, but then that's a good thing, right? It was like I was that close to signing. Literally would have seen that response, well, like whatever he responded, if it had been a positive response, I would have seen the positive response and I would have literally hopped onto signing that contract and sending it over. So I was flabbergasted, I think, as most people would be, because obviously like you could see that and be like, okay, whatever, I don't care that he was like standoffish. You could have been like, oh, it's just a little momentary fluke, it's nothing big. But for me, it was like, this kind of demonstrates your character. And if I'm going to work for you or work with you, I guess I'm not working for you because you're an independent contractor when you're a model, but if I'm going to work with you for the next year, I want to work with someone who I feel like has my best interest at hand. And if you think from me asking questions and also me giving you the dates that I'm gone, even though I told you that I was going to be gone when we met, that I am not serious about this, that's on you. I was like, you, buddy, just messed up, because I still don't know what I did to warrant that response. So I was flabbergasted. I was like, well, there goes that. This isn't happening. I was like, I'll respond in a way that leaves it open. But like, I think this kind of already dictates that I'm not going forward with this, because why would I go forward with that after that standoffish response? And it was like, ultimately, my whole thing with chasing my dreams is I am doing it on my terms, because I'm not going to like throw myself into something just because I want it if I recognize that it's not necessarily going to be good for me. And I already did this with TikTok, so I'm not going to do it with another thing. I know that modeling agencies tend to not really, it's not like they necessarily are like model first in a sense. I think they're more business first in a sense. But I think still, like, if you sign with an agency, you at least want to feel comfortable with them. And if I'm getting a standoffish response and now I'm scared that anything else I say in the future is going to trigger such standoffish response, that's not what I want to be doing here. Like, that's not what I'm signing myself up for. So this is going to be a no. But then of course I was like, ugh, I felt down, you know, because I was like, I was so close to achieving this next goal of mine, and now it's just gone, and I don't really know what to do. And it's also kind of, I feel like I'm just getting closer, especially now that I've been off of TikTok. And off of TikTok, this modeling thing, I think I'm basically throwing away at this point. It's not a forever goodbye to the possibility that this is something I could do in the future. But I will say, I think I'm done with putting in any sort of effort now. Like, I don't think I'm going to apply to any more agencies from here on out. Maybe if I move to New York at some point, I might try again. But also the fact that I got so anxious every time when I had a contract in my hand and I was like, okay, it's time to sign it, scares me a little. Like, I literally didn't really sleep the night before. And I kind of just knew it was because I was like so anxious about it. I was like, oh my God, like tomorrow's the day that it's going to happen. Like, there was no other reason why I should have been anxious about anything. So it was like, this is not good. And then I also woke up at 6 a.m. because I forced myself to wake up at 6 a.m. So obviously I was feeling very down. And I was also like, I think I'm just going to kind of scrap this modeling thing. Again, if I move to New York, maybe. If I move to Europe at some point, also maybe. Out of curiosity, but I don't really expect anything to come out of it at that point. Unless I got scouted, which I don't think I will ever get scouted, I don't necessarily think I'm going to throw myself into that anymore from here on out. Like I said, maybe New York. Like, when the time comes, I can be like, oh, do I still want to do this? But I'm sort of kind of disassociating from that dream. I think I'm putting that one to rest. At least I know I tried. A, I tried. B, I think I have enough of a reason as to why I should pull out now. And that's because I just didn't feel good either time. And I think the idea of signing myself into something like that scares me, because it feels like I'm handing over a portion of control to someone else that has to do with my life. And A, I'm a control freak. And B, if I just met with you once, and also standoffish response, but if I just met with you once, first contract, my big problem with them, besides the fact that I didn't want to sign in LA, was communication. I was like, it's so hard to communicate with you because you guys aren't responding quick enough. And then when I met the agency director, I was like, literally so many meetings where she just didn't show up. And then she finally showed up to one and I was like, oh, great. Thanks for showing up to this one. Like, we've been trying to do this for such a long time and I just want some answers. And I get it, you're busy and all that. It just doesn't look good to me if you're going to stand me up on meetings that you set. I wasn't like, this is a date and time that we need to meet. I was like, when is good for you? And you said this date and time. And I said, okay, I'll be there. You be there too. So that was that one. And then this one with the standoffish response, it's just like, this is scaring me. And then I think, of course, like when it's off with one dream, then it's off with all the dreams. I mean, art and writing, I'm still kind of like, I don't even know what's going on there. Like I'm painting my little thing, I'm writing my little thing, but like, I don't really know if anything's going to come out of it. I think short term content creation and modeling were the ones that I felt like I could get more leads on and I could actually develop. And now I'm kind of walking away from both. I'm not walking away from the content creation one completely. But the thing is, like, A, I'm taking this break from TikTok. B, when I come back to TikTok, I'm not sure whether I really want to. Yes, I want to continue it. But the thing is, like, I'm going to try something. I'm going to see if it works for me. And if it doesn't, and I feel like I'm falling back into familiar patterns and like the way that I have always posted, I'm not sure whether I'll be able to continue doing that long term for my well-being, just because I do recognize that it puts me in a lot of like mental distress. And I'm not exactly, sometimes I just post things and I'm like, I don't know if I really want to post that, but I'm like posting it because I created this platform off of being vulnerable. And now I feel like I always have to be vulnerable. And that's like the only content that actually blows up for me. And like, obviously I want to grow. And like, I'm already addicted to the idea of, it's like, once you get used to like having periodic like blow up periods where like a video is like doing really well, you're constantly chasing that. And it's so hard to disassociate from that need to constantly chase it. So you end up just posting whatever because you're hoping that something is going to finally like blow. There goes my voice. But that's not healthy, at least not for me. It's not healthy. I'm sure there are plenty of creators who can do it or who can be mindless about it and just not care about the fact that it might actually be affecting them. I feel like a lot of bigger creators probably have pushed through a lot of pain and mental distress in moments just so that they can make it to where they are now. And sure, if that works for you, that works for you. But look, I'm doing stuff for me because for so long I did stuff for other people. I did life for other people. I want to choose my own happiness. And if I recognize that something is coming in the way of that, I realize like I'm not always going to be happy, but like if I recognize that there is something that's literally coming in the way of that and I could do something to change that, why wouldn't I change it? Why would I want to constantly throw myself into a relationship that I know isn't healthy for me? And so I'm a little conflicted here as to what I'm going to do about TikTok. It's now been a week since I've been off. Oh wow, it's been a week, guys. It's been a week that I've been off. I kind of told myself when I started the break, oh, I'm going to do it for a week and then I'm going to stop. But now I'm like, no, I think I'm going to wait until, oh, I didn't mention this at the beginning of the episode, but I intended to. I think I'm going to India at the end of August. And this episode is probably going to come out when I'm in India, which is why I'm kind of like mass recording, because I'm like all this, like I can do the same thing I did when I was traveling. I mean, I'm only going to be gone for like 3 weeks, but I can do the same thing I was doing when I was traveling, where I plan everything ahead and like schedule it ahead so that episodes come out while I'm gone, even though I'll probably be able to like, I'll have more downtime when I'm there. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know how much downtime I'm going to have. So it probably makes more sense for me to just edit everything now, schedule it now so that I know that everything's coming out smoothly and you guys are getting episodes when I'm gone. Actually, I don't know if I'm going to bring my recording stuff though, because it's, you know, extra weight. We'll see. It depends on the suitcase situation. Yeah, this all kind of comes to me feeling lost again, which is like not a new feeling. I feel this, like I said, every like, it's like clockwork. Like it literally like every 5 or 6 days, I think maybe once a week, I probably have a moment where, or like a day where I feel really lost. Obviously, after all of this went down, I texted my friend Christine and then I was like, I'm going to have to tell my dad about this. And I was like, when I tell my dad, I feel like I already know what his response is going to be. He's going to be like, absolutely not. You cannot consider this going forward, which like in my mind, I already knew. I was like, I have enough self-respect for myself that I'm not going to like sign up for something where I just felt really uncomfortable with how things were handled. So my dad finally wakes up hours later, because mind you, I woke up at 6 yesterday. So this was like, this happens at like 9 a.m. And so now for hours, I'm waiting for my dad to wake up so I can tell him, or maybe it was like 10, 11, something. But like my dad didn't wake up until like nearly 1. Welcome to our family. And I was like, okay, like, where are you? Are you, did you wake up? Did I miss you? Like, what's going on? Finally, he wakes up and I'm like, so in an interesting turn of events, this happened. And I tell him, and he's of course confused, which is good because at least I wasn't the only one who was confused by the response. Like he was like trying to evaluate the whole situation. He was like, what did you say that would have triggered that response? And I was like, that's the thing. I don't think I said anything. I was simply asking my last question and just giving some details. And I also literally was like talking about photographers. I was like, I reached out to the photographer. Like, I am serious about this. And actually in my response to what he sent, that like standoffish response, I literally was like, okay, I'll let the photographer know that like we're not going ahead with this, because I was actually planning on shooting with him before I left. But I'll just tell him that we're putting this on pause for now. Anyways, so yeah, my dad kind of was like, okay. And then obviously I was like, you know, I'm feeling really lost. It's like the same conversation every time, but this time around it wasn't like I'm discontent with my life currently, or it's just that, here's the thing, ultimately, it's like, okay, I feel like the more and more I go into this, the more and more I feel lost. And I say this because when I started this journey, like when I first moved back home, I was like, here's my plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. If plan A doesn't work out, here's plan B. I know exactly what I'm going to do. All will be well. And it was like comforting because it was like, I'm not throwing myself into this with no other plans. It's like, I have plans that I'm excited about. I was excited about the prospect of moving abroad and getting a job, right? And I always thought, okay, if I get a job, whether it's here or whether it's abroad, it's probably going to be in like social media marketing, influencer marketing, content creation, something like that, something of that sort. Great. I know exactly what I want to do. I have a plan B. I also have a plan C. I have a plan D. Like, I have these plans. If one thing doesn't work out, that's fine. If the dreams don't work out at some point, that's fine. I know exactly what comes next. But the more time that I've spent in this sort of plan A, the more I've gotten lost about what my other plans are. Because, well, first off, I'm like, do I really want to go into a marketing social media job? As I said, I did. Yes, there's definitely interest. It's not like I've lost interest in it, but I think there's other ideas that have come up in the time. Number one, I kind of have thought a little bit more about sort of the like PhD option. I'm like, maybe that's what I want to do. Here's the thing. I think ultimately, long term, I would like to do something that I feel like I'm applying myself to. And I like social media marketing. I really do. But I recognize that it is kind of more of a short term thing because I feel like there's that academic in me, even though it's not like a big part of me. Well, I mean, it is. It is a big part of me, though. But like, there's definitely that academic in me. And I'm like, okay, see, I post my life on social media. I've also worked in social media marketing. Social media marketing isn't exactly one of those things that you can like very much apply yourself to. Obviously, you're like following trends and like there's ways to apply yourself to it, but it's not in the way that I think ideally I would like to apply myself to something long term, especially since I've been like hosting, like developing my own platforms. I'm like, this feels a little mind numbing. It feels like I'm like working against my whole degree that I got. And I've always had sort of this like PhD thing at the back of my mind. And when I first came up with it, it was more to like impress my parents, make them proud. I was like, I need to go down the same track as them. But now as time has gone by, it's kind of stood there in the background as like a, hey, I also want a chance. And I'm like, see, if I were to do it, it wouldn't be for my parents. I think my dad still thinks that that's why I even think about it. But it's like, no, I know exactly what I would study. I'm very interested in that topic. I think it would be a really, 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 really cool thing to study. I would like to study that. You know, I don't know if I want to do that long term. That's the thing. I'm like not completely sure whether this is actually something I want to do, but I'm like, I think it would be cool to study that. But I realized that I didn't really like set myself up for success in terms of like getting a PhD, especially not in the United States. That's the other thing. I kind of was like, oh, I do a PhD abroad, but then it's like I have to figure that out too. I feel like I didn't completely set myself up for success. So then my next thought recently, like a couple of weeks ago, was, oh wait, what if I were to try and get like a research assistant position for now in a lab of interest, like a psychology lab? Actually, maybe not even like, yeah, but I was hoping kind of in a lab of interest so I could study something that I'm like interested in, but I can work sort of as like a research assistant, lab technician. Like, okay, obviously I'm not a PhD student or have a PhD, but like I do have some training in psychology and now I'm like applying it. I'm doing something more technical. And so I was like, what if I were to do that instead? I don't even know how exactly I would get myself into that just because I don't know, but that's something I could figure out. But then it was like, I had this idea. And then I was like, okay, so now which one is it? Do I want to go get that job? Do I want to do the PhD? Like, I'm wavering back and forth. And then I was thinking about it a little bit further and I was like, art. I am interested in art. And why not consider that too? Like, there are careers in art. Do I know much about them? No, but there's definitely careers in art. And so yesterday I went down a little deep dive and I was going through LinkedIn and I just like typed in art. That's it. Just the word art. And I was looking at the jobs that came up and all of a sudden I saw something that I thought was really interesting, like a career path that I had really never heard of before. But I was like, wait, this feels like something I could apply myself to more. It's creative. It feels a little bit more in my direction. There could be that social media aspect to it. There could also be a little bit more like a research aspect to it. Maybe this is kind of the better path for me. Maybe this is something I should be striving for. But then I'm left with this problem of I have no training in this whatsoever. I don't have a degree. Like, I have nothing. So where do I even start here? Especially since I've graduated college. I'm like, do I have to get like a master's, like an MFA? Your girl is a little lost. Not a little lost, very lost. Literally, I was like looking at it and I was like, wait, this is like my aha moment. No, I'm not going to say it was an aha moment, but it was like a moment where I was like, kind of like revived, where I was like, wait, okay, wait, what is this? How do I get into this? Maybe I should try for this. And so then I was like looking up art internships and stuff like that, and like internships at museums and blah, blah, blah. And it's like all this stuff I didn't really ever think of before. And unfortunately, I've missed the deadline for a lot of these internships, which I was like a little smack in the wall. Like one of them was like literally like, decisions will come out August 16th. And I look at the date and it's August 15th. And I was like, ouch. Ouch. Okay, thank you. So sorry. But I'm like, I don't have really any like professional training or like experience to bring to the table, but I have some canvases that I could bring to the table. And I feel like if I can find something that's like very, maybe not entry level, but even just like an internship, something that can start me off on that path, I can bring stuff to the table and be like, look, I'm really of this creative nature. I like art. I don't know too much about it, but that's why I'm here. I'm here to learn about it. I'm here to like engage and to understand it. Pick me, choose me, love me, like please. Because I actually think I might need to do a career switch now. Because here's the thing, also with like the social media thing, like great, social media marketing, great. Like I could do that for 2-3 years maybe before I'm like, all right, let's figure something else out. But first off, I feel like with social media marketing, you kind of hole yourself in because it's like, that's what you do. My other problem with social media marketing is it's such a saturated industry and like career path that it's so hard to get into it. Everyone wants to do that. I look at all of these social media jobs because I've been spending a good amount of time on LinkedIn recently, but I look at all of these social media jobs and I'm like, there are hundreds of applicants on here, and I bet you most of them have a good amount of experience. So how do I even fall into here? And like, it's like, how do you make yourself stand out? I have my TikTok, I have my YouTube channel. Okay, maybe don't look at my YouTube channel because it's not like, but I have TikTok. Okay, like I have something going on TikTok. It's not huge. I mean, it would probably help if I had like hundreds of thousands, because then it's like, oh my god, you're really legit. Like you built yourself up that far, like then you can probably build up a brand platform, which I also could tell you like, no, that's not how it works, because I've worked in it. But whatever. But it's like, okay, I have something going on. I have my personal experience with social media. I have my internship experience with social media. It's like, I have done so much social media, and yet I don't think my resume is enough for that industry. I don't think it's enough. I barely got an internship last summer. And to be fair, I wasn't looking for a social media marketing internship, so that probably was my problem. But like looking for a social media marketing position, it's not looking very good. And I know the job market is like terrible regardless. It isn't even just that, but I feel like I have put myself on a career path that is a lot more difficult to achieve, even if you do have like relevant experience. You know, initially I was like, oh, it's because I don't have the experience. But now I'm like, I feel like I have so much experience. And then also none at all. Because when it comes down to it, I'm like, and they all have like very specific things that they're looking for. And it's like, how am I supposed to have everything? There's nothing uniform here. How am I supposed to have everything? I'm not looking to like actually get a full-time job just yet. I'm not done with chasing the dreams. I just do want to have something else to do, especially now that I've been off of TikTok. It's like I definitely have like extra time, and I've been using it to just like mass edit vlogs for YouTube, which is great, but I can only do that for so long. You know, there's always stuff for me to do. It's not like I'm lacking with that, but I'm kind of like, it would be nice to have something that's a little bit more stable, even if it's like a couple of hours a week, just like some sort of part-time freelance UGC internship, like any of those titles. Like that's kind of something I'm looking for, as long as it's like part-time. I'm not looking to go completely full-time yet, just something that I can apply myself to that isn't just what I'm doing on my own. Obviously it would also be nice to be like making something money-wise, like even if it's just a little bit, just to be contributing, especially now that I had sort of this threat of expenses where I was like, my bank account is going to be depleted for these agency photos or like modeling photos. I was like, and how am I going to earn that back? You know, like I don't really have a way to earn that back. Like if I was doing something where I knew, okay, I'm going to spend this much, but then I'm going to earn it back, then I would feel a little bit more comfortable. But I'm like, I'm not going to earn it back, at least not right now. And then I was like, I need to get back on TikTok because at least I could get paid through that. But I'm like, I don't know if that's what I want to do either. I'm like, YouTube, please monetize me. But like, if I want to keep up like personal social media platforms, I feel like it is going to ultimately be a little bit of an overload if I'm doing like social media marketing full time. And then I come home and I'm still creating content, you know, because social media marketing is like you are in front of the camera, like you are doing, like you are on social media your entire day. That was what my internships look like where I did that. Literally the one that I did the summer between my sophomore and junior year, it was like, if you looked over to my section of the, it was like an open floor plan. Like the company was just like an open floor plan. And when there was two floors, if you looked over to the section of my floor where I was sitting, you would just see me on my phone the entire time. And you probably would be like, is this girl working? She is a social media marketing intern. She is on her phone 24/7 because what else is she supposed to do? It's all on the phone. Also, fun fact, I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but they literally seated me next to the CEO because the CEO didn't have like his own office. He just had a desk. And I was at the very end of the floor in the row that I was in. There was only one other person person, and they were like further down. So it was like they weren't even close to me. So it was just in the little section that I was sitting in. It was just me and the CEO. Now imagine putting the social media intern who's always on her phone next to the CEO who doesn't believe in social media. Guys, it was so, the amount of times I would like literally have a near heart attack when he would walk by, because I was literally just like sitting there on my phone, like scrolling through TikTok. And I was like, I swear this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm the TikTok intern. Like, this is my job. I know it doesn't look like my job, but it is. This is called content research. I know it doesn't make sense at all, but like, this is what I have to do. Like, I don't have anything else to do right now. I was like, if you want to put me to work, like put me to work. I will happily like do whatever, but like, this is all I have at the moment. They also just didn't give me enough work for an 8-hour day every single day, which was a little bit of a nightmare situation too, because it was like, how am I supposed to kill time right now? But I feel like a lot of interns actually feel like that, unless you're like in investment banking or something like that. Like, there's so many moments as an intern where you're just sitting there and you're like, how do I keep myself busy? And luckily I could keep myself busy with my phone, because at least I was the social media intern. But I can't imagine being in a role where it's like the whole phone thing would be super weird. Anyways, so that kind of brings me to this whole like situation where I'm feeling lost. And I'm kind of like, this art thing seems cool. And then I literally was thinking about it. I was like, no. This makes so much sense. I go down this art path. I do it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, however long. At that point, if I still want to like be further stimulated, I could go get a PhD or an MBA. I'm like, this is something that I could at least see myself doing for a little bit longer than the social media thing. Like, I see myself doing this for at least half a decade up to a decade. I'm already 22. Gosh. Okay, but whatever, something like that. I'm still at that point young enough to like, A, go get a PhD, B, go back to school, start something new. Like, you know what? Ultimately, maybe I'm just meant to be the person who does a bunch of career switches. But at least with this one, it's like, I know I'm not doing a career switch anytime soon. I guess the one thing with the social media one is like, then I could say, oh, well, at this point, I did this 2-3 years, then I get a PhD, then I'm at least like a lot younger. I could probably have a PhD by the same age my dad got his PhD, because my dad took 8 years to do his PhD. I could take like 5 and I still would be on the same timeline. So I wouldn't feel super old, if that makes sense. I don't know. I'm not sure. You see, the thing is, it's hard to plan for the future, but it's like, what should I do right now? And I'm like, you know, if I'm doing like social media personally, maybe it does make sense to do something different. Also, just because it's going to be so hard to get into that industry. Like, I have been applying to jobs. It's not that I haven't been. I just can tell you right now, if I were to set out today, which I honestly might, if I were to set out today and be like, and this is my official job search start, even though I've already been applying to jobs, but this is my official job search start. I'm going to be mass applying to jobs every single day. This is my new thing. Watch me on TikTok, like mass apply. Let's go live. Something like that, right? If I were to say that right now, I might still not have a job in 3 months from now, in 6 months from now, and maybe even in 9 months from now. I might not get a job until a year from now-ish, like around that time, like summer 2025, beginning of summer 2025. So then I'm still out a job for that long, because that's the industry I want to get into. And also the job market is just really scary right now. Like, I literally like got back onto LinkedIn and I was like, I don't even want to try, because I just am not excited for what comes next, because I've been there before. I did that with the internships. It was not, I mean, that's where I started my TikTok channel, because I was nearly giving up. I'm honestly like, at that point, I might actually have been able to like fully make my dreams come true. Maybe that's the way to go. It's just like, I start focusing on like mass applying to jobs, knowing that it probably will not happen anytime soon for me. I can actually achieve what I want to achieve. And then by that point, it's like, okay, well, do I still want to get that kind of job? Or, but I think right now I'm sort of looking into like, how can I do a little bit of a career path switch? Because ultimately it's like, even if I still want to go into social media marketing, I have a good resume for that. I don't feel like I necessarily need to add to that resume. Obviously I could always add to the resume, but I don't think that adding to that resume is going to guarantee me getting a job, especially not anytime soon. But if I could maybe start creating a new resume in the like arts department, then I have like multiple options as to different career paths I can take. It's actually really funny in terms of this art situation. So back in March, I think it was March, I went to, UCLA has this tradition, I think I mentioned it in one of my episodes if you were listening back then, called Dinner for 12 Strangers. And they basically take 10 students or 12 students. I am not completely sure. Maybe it's 12 students, 10 to 12 students. And they assign them to an alumni's house. And then you, as an alumni, like if you live in the area, you can choose to sign up for this program. Basically the alumni hosts a dinner. And usually what they do is they kind of like align interests with like alumni. So let's say an alumni works in finance and you're like, my interest is finance. Then they'll try and like align you with that alumni. And then you end up in that house. We ended up with double alumni. They were a couple mid-age and the husband was in finance, clearly very successful there. And the wife she was like so shy about it, but I was like, girl, I want to hear you talk because you are the interesting one for me. But I know a lot of people were there for finance, but there were some people who were like, wait, like, no, we want to hear this. She was an art curator. She was in art. When I like graduated college, I wasn't working in art. She was like doing something else. I can't remember what it was, but what she was doing was she was volunteering at museums in the evening. And she was literally telling me, she was like, if that's like, if you want to break into the art industry, like that's a really great way to do it. I actually looked into like volunteering at an art museum here in Miami, but I don't have a reliable mode of transportation and I could try, but I feel like it would be a stretch trying to make that happen for me, which is why I'm like, maybe if I do end up with a job somewhere else, I just need to live in a walkable city. Get me to a walkable city. I will like volunteer at any art museum after work happily. And honestly, that would make so much sense. But the point is, I first need to get a job. So maybe in between, maybe we should try and figure out other options for me to get into this path. Yeah, she was like, I would just like volunteer at this art museum. I think she did like an MFA somewhere in art, something. I can't remember exactly. And then at some point she like actually started like working in the art industry, but like she also kind of started off from scratch. And I've been thinking about that a lot recently. I honestly maybe should reach out to her because I have her on LinkedIn. I've been thinking a lot about that because I'm like, maybe this is my calling. I'm starting to feel a little nauseous. I don't feel very good when I drink green tea on an empty stomach. I don't know if anyone else feels that way. I was gonna like have breakfast with my green tea, but obviously now I'm talking and I've been talking for over an hour. But anyways, I feel optimistic. I think my thing is, though, I need to get myself to another city. And the question is, how am I going to do that? And right now, I don't think that there's any feasible way to do that because I would either need to get a job. I'm not going to get one overnight. That's the first thing. Also, like any sort of internship, not getting that overnight either. There are, I guess, New York City internships like for fall, but I look at the pay and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to live off of that. $16 an hour is not going to, like, I'm going to be scrapping it. And I know people do that, but I am not exactly the type of person to do it. And also figuring out housing and all that. I've done it before. I think I would need more time knowing that I'm getting into it. So I'm like, okay, scrap the fall thing. I can be here for fall, but maybe try and aim for something for spring. Yeah. So anyways, this is kind of where my head has been at. I think I need to do a lot more thinking and research and just obviously applying to stuff. As my dad said, he was like, just keep applying. Something I'm trying to get into while I'm here is volunteering. My sister is volunteering at this specific place and she went for the first time. I meant to go with her, but then I went with my mom to her treatment and the treatment went over time, so I wouldn't have made it back in time. But I want to go with her next time she goes, see how it goes. There's another thing. It's a foster care program and it's kind of cool because this is like a remote volunteering opportunity where you can make affirmation jars, which I thought was really cute. I was like, wait, I would love to like just be at home like making my little affirmation jars. It's like you can do that all at home and then you bring it to, I don't know if it was a foster home per se or it was, I think it might have been a foster home. You bring it to them. So I do want to get into volunteering. And my dad also yesterday, he was like, well, if anything else, like, you know, volunteering. And I was like, yeah, I want to do some volunteering. I'm definitely going to go with my sister. I think ultimately it's like finding things to do outside of what I'm doing right now. But also it would be nice to do something that's like more career oriented. And then, you know, also some volunteering here and there and some activities, outdoor activities or just out of house activities. I haven't been too good about following through that with that. You know, I had this whole list of like, I'm going to take tennis classes and golf classes and stuff like that. But I think one problem with that is just it's been really hot right now. So I'm like, maybe when fall time comes around, it makes more sense for me to be out and about. And then also the good thing is I finally feel like I have people in the city. I almost feel like I have more people to hang out with here than I did when I was in LA, which is kind of probably sounds crazy because I was literally like, I have no friends. First off, I rekindled with my high school best friend. I did an episode about this. And since she's like literally on the same track as me, I think we're probably going to ultimately end up doing like a weekly meetup, which is like perfect. I honestly just need like one day of socialness. And so anything else beyond that will be like a treat, right? But like, this is great. And since we're like in a similar place, I feel like it's nice just because then it doesn't make me feel super alone. Because sometimes you like hang out with people, you know, post-grad too. And it's like, okay, it's super cool what you're doing, but we're doing different things. And I feel like it's, I don't know, it's nice when like someone like really gets what you're going through, right? So there's that. My closest friend from UM is going to be heading back to school soon. So she'll be here. And I don't know how often I'm going to see her, but I might see her more often than I think I'm going to see her. And that would be nice too. And I always like hanging out with her. I feel like it's always just kind of, especially like, I think we have a lot to talk about because it's been a really long time since I saw her. I think I saw her last in April. Hopefully we can at least like plan something. Even if I just see her once, I was like texting my friend Christine and I was like, I should plan my visit to you. if the offer still stands. And she was like, yeah, like, let's do it. And so maybe I'll aim to visit her October, November, obviously after India, but thinking October, November, maybe October. We'll see. But I definitely want to visit her at some point, and also sooner rather than later. I'm thinking, I'm just trying to like space it so that it's like I have enough time at home before I start to feel like, oh, I need to go somewhere. Probably end of October, November, something like that. I'll probably feel the itch to go somewhere new. I'm going to try and stay with her for a little bit. Also, maybe a couple of weeks if she allows me. Christine, let me know if that's okay. I'm not like trying to overstep. I'm going to become a professional friend. Like, I'm going to be a professional friend and I'm just going to be there. And she's always going to have someone and it's going to be me. But I thought, you know, why not? And I can probably work on things from there. So it's like, why not? Like, that makes sense. And she goes to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but she has remote Monday, Friday. So it's like on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like I can just hang out. I don't know. We'll figure something out, you know, we'll see. But that's something that I definitely want to plan as well. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about that. I think it's just a matter of figuring out like what direction I want to go in now. And yeah. So am I feeling lost? Absolutely. Am I feeling better right now? Yes. I still stand by everything's going to be okay. It's just, you know, sometimes you have your moments where you're like, everything feels like it's kind of going up in shambles. But I'm like, it's okay that the modeling thing didn't work out. And I will get back to TikTok. I will get back to TikTok and I will continue on there. I just need to like take a break, and that's okay. Also, I've been creating a TikTok vault because I want to be very intentional about what I'm posting going forward. There's going to be a little bit of a switch. Okay. I'm going to be switching it up a little, which I hope people like. It's really just to kind of like protect my mental well-being. Because I think the best way to explain it is I always would make this comment where I was like, I act like TikTok is my full-time job, even though I'm not getting paid. And the reality is, no, I was actually not treating TikTok like a full-time job, because if I was treating TikTok like a full-time job, I would have had a hard cutoff for myself. I would have said 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, something like that. Like, this is your time period where you can work on it. But then outside of that, like, it was like my life was meshing into TikTok. And all of a sudden I was like, I don't know what my real life is and I don't know what my TikTok life is. And that's what a lot of creators do. Obviously, like, most creators just kind of share their entire life on there. And if that works for them, that works for them. But I recognize I sort of need like that work-life balance. And I know TikTok is not my job, but what I actually need to do is genuinely treat TikTok like it's my full-time job. I do not need to be doing the most. I think right now I've had this thing where I treat TikTok like it's my diary, my friend, my therapist, something like that, where it's like I'm willing to throw anything out there. And I know people like that. And that's kind of where I built my platform. And I feel like that's why I've done more and more of it, because I'm like, oh, if I keep sharing my very vulnerable self and like things that sometimes I don't even feel comfortable talking about, maybe it'll help other people feel less alone. And that's great. And then people are gonna, you know, like enjoy my content and all that. Like, I feel like I have to like go above and beyond and being vulnerable. But it's like the reality of the situation is sometimes I post things and I'm like, I don't know if I want to share that. I know that sounds absurd. It's like, why share something you don't necessarily feel comfortable sharing? But it's like you get so used to the possibility of, oh, this might be the video that blows up. Because before, the videos that blew up were the ones where I was super vulnerable. So maybe if I'm vulnerable about something new, then that will also blow up. And it's just like, that sounds so stupid. But it's like, yeah, you know, you get used to like getting in that cycle of like having things blow up. And it's like when things aren't blowing up, you're like, why is nothing blowing up? And it's a very infuriating process. And that's why I'm not very happy with it. And I'm like, I really don't want to continue this, because I know I'm going to get back and I'm going to get kind of sucked into that cycle again. And it's like, I've had periods where I've genuinely just enjoyed creating to create, and it was never about numbers. But it's like, when you're putting so much into it and you're investing so much of yourself into it, you're also in it for the numbers, because you need something that reminds you that, oh, I'm doing this for a reason, because most people would not just like share everything on there. And so I'm like, okay, I need to be more intentional. So I'm creating sort of this TikTok vault so that I'll have videos ready. And I'm thinking maybe post once a day. I like the 5 to 8 thing, you know, I was doing that, but it's like, I can't do that for myself anymore, because then it's just, it's constant. So I'm creating this vault and I'm hoping that by the end of the time of this break, like I'll have like a decent amount of videos in there, so that for the first couple weeks that I'm back on, I'm like, this is all that I'm posting. And like, there's still gonna be vulnerable things about it too. Like, it's not like I'm like completely like shutting off or like shutting down or whatever. I want to share my experience with life and my journey with life, but I don't want to overshare, essentially. And I feel like it's like, if you want me oversharing, you come here. This is what this platform is for. That platform is for creating and sharing, but sharing what I feel comfortable sharing. The same with here, but like, this is where I'm more vulnerable. I feel more comfortable talking into a microphone and then sharing it outwards. I never really have felt super comfortable, even though I do it a lot. I feel like there's always been this level of discomfort of like, you can see my face and you can see me talking in real time, and then you can comment on it. You can say whatever you want to say about it. Like, I don't really care about that. This has always been my safe space, because I don't have to deal with that. And I don't necessarily like dealing with that. And obviously I know hate is going to be hate, like it's going to happen, but it's just like, I don't know. I want to be a little bit more regulated. I want to be a little bit more intentional about what I post. And so I'm kind of like working on rebranding myself and reviving the whole thing when I come back. And so that's kind of what I've been putting in some time and effort into. I've been, you know, recording things on my phone and using CapCut and like creating this little vault. It's still going to be me. I never put on a fake face for TikTok. Like it was always me, but it's just me filtered a little bit and me actually doing me instead of doing me that doesn't, I don't know. Yeah, that kind of thing, you know? So we'll see where that goes. We'll see where this hopefully new era of me sharing my life on the internet will go. But yeah, I'm gonna do a trial period. I'll do it for maybe a month or two, see where it goes. And if I'm still feeling off about it, then, you know, we'll see. If I'm feeling decently good about it, then I'm like, okay, this is the way to continue. And I'm hoping with time, I just have like more exciting things going on. I think the thing I was excited about in terms of this like modeling contract was being able to come back on and be like, hey, now I have this whole new thing going on in my life and I can make all this content about it and I feel comfortable making that content. But now I'm like, that's not happening. So now it's like, what is the next thing? Because I love sharing my journey of chasing my dreams and I hope people like that. I mean, I've gotten hate for it, but I don't know if people really, I feel like there has to be someone out there that has enjoyed that process of watching me chase my dreams. But I'm like, I want to share more of the good than sort of the parts where you can easily pick on me and be like, oh, well, why are you complaining about this? Or like, you should be doing this. It's like, I'm happy with what I'm doing in my normal life. So I want to share that happiness outward. And yeah, I just want to share more of the wins. And I'm hoping with time, there are more wins in that department. So anyways, that's me. That's who I am. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you guys in my episode next week. Well, talk to you guys in my episode next week. Bye. I love you guys so much. Like genuinely so much. And I'm grateful to have this platform that I feel comfortable on and that is my safe space because it's nice. It's nice having a safe space, but being able to, and I feel like it just always makes me feel good. I feel like I've been saying this in every episode recently, but I'm like, no, this episode, or not this episode, this podcast has really been like kind of a lifesaver. I have no clue what I would be doing with my life right now if I was like living the exact same life but didn't have a podcast. I would have to go to therapy, actually. I would have to go to therapy. That would be the only option for me, ultimately. Debating whether I should start a new painting today. I honestly might. Yeah, actually, maybe I should. I need to do the background for it. I finished a painting yesterday, actually. So second post-grad painting done, starting the third one. I think I'm going to do the background. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm excited about this one because this one is going to be like, I'm excited to see what happens. Yeah, it's going to be different from the other two. So, I mean, they're all different, but okay, now I'm going to have breakfast and yeah, love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.